revving up a Thursday here. I got some sunshine. We are at 11 below again. And our Thursday talk around starts with, well, everybody's favorite segment here, our favorite historian, Janet Gagelin.
Good morning.
I'll tell you what, these have been award-winning segments you've been doing as of late. And today we're going to, what would you call this, potpourri or kind of front page news?
Front page news, yeah.
What have you been digging up?
Well, we have an update from the Rum Runners.
Okay.
Remember the cars that crashed? And so the update is that the fellow who was hurt badly did pass away. And the other one who stayed around the Hickson area, but instead of taking a train to Fargo, he took it to Tyler, which is in Richland County.
Mm-hmm.
But the sheriff hasn't found anyone or heard any news about it, so he's kind of letting it go for now.
All right.
So our Rum Runner, whoever
he
is.
That's the Rum Runner update. I love that.
Yeah, here's an update. Remember the Fry brothers who had the Joseph Simonich? And the,
of course.
Okay, yeah. So yeah. They have more story. They were, on their way to the state pen in Minnesota at Stillwater to become residents there. But they got a little more information about these two, that they had also been quite active in Tacoma, Washington with their deeds. So they had a taxi driver. He must have owned his own taxi, but they got him to give them a ride. But they went out into the middle of nowhere, and they robbed him, took his money, took his cash, bound him, gagged him, and then left. So the poor man was just left out there, and he couldn't get out of however they had bound him. And so he rolled down a road for 2 miles. Yeah. So
I'm picturing this in my head as you're telling me this.
Yeah, so he rolled down the road for about 2 miles, and people drove by, and they thought it was some kind of a gimmick, some kind of a joke or whatever. So the first 8 cars went around him. They didn't.
As he's rolling down the road.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and so they just went by thinking, well, he doesn't really need help. But one did stop and give him aid. So he had his hands and his wrists were bleeding from cuts from the rope and bruising.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So then, after they captured the brothers here in Breckenridge, the Tacoma police came here and took some pictures of them. And yes, indeed, the taxi driver identified them as the two individuals who bound and gagged him. So after they finished their term or their sentence in Stillwater, they were going to have to be accountable in Tacoma, Washington as well.
Okay.
In the meantime, we had Ludwig, his wife was still in jail because she wasn't giving up any information, but they were paying her $45 a month for her 4 children.
Okay. So she was getting money but keeping her mouth shut.
Yeah. So that was kind of bad. All right, so we have, and this is a new one. I don't really think there'll be a part two for this one, but there was a fellow on a Great Northern Railroad train coming to Breckenridge. And one of the, I don't know if it's the conductor, was maybe coming through, and he saw that there was a gun. Yep, and there was a lady alongside of him, and they were loading a revolver. And, of course, there were a lot of people on the train. So they were loading this revolver.
Just out in the open, just loading this gun.
Yeah, sitting in their seat. And the lady saw that he had viewed what they were doing, so she tried to cover it up. Well, it didn't get totally covered up, so he turned around, the conductor guy, and he walked back and got some help. And so the two of them came to take the gun away. And at first, he was like, yeah, okay, so he gave up the gun. And no more had he given up the gun that he had a second one. Yeah, so he pulls out a second gun, and people are scrambling. They're on the floor. They're hiding behind the seats.
I bet. I would, too.
And he draws the second gun, and he wants to shoot. And he aims at the one of the would-be guys that were kind of trying to confine him, and he shoots at them and at him and misses, and it goes through a compartment, the bullet did. And then the second guy jumps in, and they got him down, but he also got off another shot. They, you know, wrestled with him, got the gun in the air, and so another shot went off, and they bound him, you know, he kept him there until they got to the station. And then they went back to visit with a lady, and she, I just met him.
Right.
We just happened to be sitting beside him, you know. So they really didn't get much of a story out of her.
Mm-hmm.
And so nothing really happened to her. But the fellow with the gun was from Minneapolis, and he was planning to rob all these people on the train. And yeah, he had some other assault charges in Minneapolis, so he ended up at Stillwater, too.
Wow.
For 1 to 5 years.
What a crazy ride.
I know. Can you imagine being on that? And then, yeah. So they, yeah. The lady, you know, she just kind of walked away from the whole thing. And they took the bullets out and saved them. You know, souvenirs, I guess.
I'm wondering if they got refunds on their tickets. Probably not. Probably not.
That would be tough.
That would be tough.
Yeah. Okay, we have time for one more?
Yes, we do.
Okay, so this is a lady who was called the Pie Lady.
The Pie Lady.
The Pie Lady, yes. She was going to leave town and take a job somewhere else. And she had been at the pastry shop for about 5 years. And over that time period, she would get these pie orders. And she would get orders for 40 to 50 pies, but it didn't faze her. She was really good at what she was doing. And about in a year's time, it says that she made about 10,000 pies for the home cafe.
Holy smokes.
I know. And that would bring a value of about $20,000. So that'd be quite a bit. And her pies were usually cut into 4 pieces. So I don't know how big they would have been, but they sold for 10 cents a piece. I mean, a piece of pie.
A piece of pie, okay.
10 cents, yeah. The favorite kind was apple. The second favorite was lemon, and after that, it was a coconut.
Oh, okay.
Kind of odd for 1925.
That is, the coconut. Yeah, it kind of goes in a different direction.
Right. And when she made pies, she would use, in a day, 5 pounds of lard. Now, maybe that's what made the pies really good. I'm not sure. But 5 pounds of lard, and a 40-pound box of apples would last 4 or 5 days. And would make about 25 pies.
And apples were the number one. That's
apples
what everybody
liked. Apples
were
the number one, okay. Yes. So in the time that she was the pie lady, if you took the pies that she made in that 5 years, which would be like 50,000 pies, and you stacked them one on top of the other, it would be about a mile high.
That's a lot of pies.
Right. And if you put them side by side, it would take you halfway to Morton.
The Pie Lady.
The Pie Lady from the Home Cafe. Yep, 1925.
Love this.
That's a good story.
Oh, man, they're all good stories.
Well, let's do one more.
Okay.
All right, this is Brownie was a pretty smart dog. He was a spaniel, and his owners were from Breckenridge. Moberg was their last name. And he and his wife, you know, they really liked their dog. It was number one in the family, and it got stolen.
Oh.
Yeah. And they found out that the dog was in Hankinson. So they drove to Hankinson to see if this was their dog, Brownie.
Yeah.
They drove around, and they honked their horn. And the dog came running.
Brownie recognized the horn.
Right.
Okay, is a smart pooch.
Yeah, and so the moral of the story is, have your dog to recognize the sound of your horn, which I think would be quite unusual in 1925. But, yeah, the horn rang, and the dog ran over and jumped in and wiggled his head and his tail off, and everybody was happy.
Nice reunion.
Yeah. But, get your dog to recognize your master's. They called it an auto siren, but it would have been a horn.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so that's how they trained their dog to come when they blasted their horn.
And it's National Love Your Pet Day today, so that ties in beautifully.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome. Great stories.
Didn't know that one.
Great stories. Janet, always fun having you here.
Yeah, we'll have some more next week.
Okay, sounds good. Janet Gageland in with all kinds of great history for us. We do this every Thursday here at 810. The Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW.
Never have tripped down a bayou stream, but I heard that music on the radio, and I swore someday I was gonna go down a Highway 10, past the Lafayette. There's a Baton Rouge, and I won't forget to send you a card with my regrets, 'cause I'm never gonna come back home. Saturday night, and the moon is out. I wanna head on over to the Twist and Shout, find a two-step partner and a Cajun beat. When it lifts me up, I'm gonna find my feet. Bring your sister too. They got lots of music and lots of room. When they play you a waltz from the 90s.